We have a prison-shaking Savior. Did you know that? That's the kind of Savior we got. He's a chain breaker. I love that song. I love the message. And I love it so much that when I talked to Randy about singing this song, or he told me he was going to sing this song, I said, well, you know what? There's a perfect message that goes right along with that song. This don't get to happen as often as I'd like for it to. But I got a message about a prison-shaking Savior. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So Acts chapter 16, what a terrific passage of Scripture here. I love the book of Acts as well as the whole Word of God, but this is so important. I want to read quite a number of verses this morning and share with you about our prison-shaking Savior. Verse 16, chapter 16, book of Acts, verse 16 as well and following. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and they drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. We're given this story in the book of Acts, and I believe with all of my heart that these events actually took place here. Paul and Silas and Timothy were in the town of Philippi. This is Paul's second missionary journey. It's the very beginning of his second missionary journey. And they were there with the intent, expression, idea to preach the Word of God. That was what they went there for. They wanted to share the good news of the gospel. They wanted to share about a Jesus who would forgive you of your sins, about a Jesus Christ who would save you if you were lost, about the good news. That's what the gospel means, good news of the gospel. Well, they didn't have a synagogue there. Apparently, there's no mention of a synagogue, but they did have a group of ladies who met down by a river, and they had prayer there. And it was interesting that they would do that. You can see that in the very beginnings of this chapter. Lydia was there. Lydia got saved. Her household got saved. Things were working out really, really well. And they were there certain days in that particular city. And while they were there, it says where I began to read there that as it came to pass that they went down to prayer, there was a certain woman who came to them, and the Bible says she had a spirit of divination. So we don't get hooked up on that and lost in the middle of this explanation. I'm just going to say there was a spirit within her, an evil spirit, a sorcerer. What she said was not false, but where the voice was coming from was of concern to Paul. It goes on that she followed them around while they were preaching, while they were teaching the good word, while they were teaching the gospel. It said very clearly in verse 16 that this woman brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. In other words, they were using her to make money. She apparently was able to predict the future of in some way, form, or fashion. So rather than caring about her overall well-being, mentally or spiritually, either one, they were taking advantage of this woman, and they were using her for gain. Now that's going to be important to see where all of this goes. Paul didn't like the whole idea that she was out there repeating a lot of the things that they were saying, or calling out and saying that these men are servants of the Most High God, which they were, which show us the way of salvation, which they did. But Paul had an issue with that. did not want that message coming from an evil spirit within this woman. So after a period of time, he became frustrated by all of that. It came great concern to him that this message was coming from this woman. So he spoke directly to this evil spirit, and the Bible says he was grieved by that in verse 18. And he commanded the spirit to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And the testimony of the Word of God says that that spirit came out that very hour. So Paul, and hear me closely, Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, cast out this evil spirit from this woman and made her whole. It was different. The guys who ran her life did not care whether she was whole physically, whether she was whole spiritually, whether she was whole mentally. The only thing they cared about was their bottom line. She made them money. They basically owned her. She worked for them, and it was not a pretty sight. Well, guess what? When somebody gets into your bottom line, does that make you real happy? Not likely. They became very frustrated, very upset, very disappointed, very angry. So they brought them down to the marketplace, verse 19 says. They brought them unto the rulers, unto the magistrates there. And listen to the story that they said. These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Paul and Silas and Timothy was not exceedingly troubling their city. They were speaking the truth of the Word of God. They were preaching the good news of the gospel. They were talking about this prison-shaking Savior. They were talking about this Savior who made a way where there was not a way. They were talking about an offer of salvation for those who might not ever be able to hear that message any other way. Well, they brought them down there, and they said, here's what they do. They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. In other words, here's the deal. The Jews are teaching things that the Jews believe, and we, being Romans, we don't need to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We believe it's unlawful for us to hear that. So here's the deal. They need to be whipped. It says they stirred up that group of people that was there. They brought them before the magistrates there, and they rent off their clothes at first, says 22, verse 22, and commanded to beat them. Have you ever been whipped with a rod for telling the truth? I don't have that in my experience. Now, telling the truth, yes. Being whipped with a rod, no. I just want to make sure that y'all know that, okay? But the whole point being is sometimes we don't have a problem suffering the consequences of choices that we make that are poor. But sometimes we have a hard time suffering consequences when we've done nothing wrong. You ever been blamed for something you didn't do? You ever been put in a place where you had to suffer consequences for something you didn't do? Well, verse 23 is very clear. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. And when it says charging the jailer to keep them safely, what they basically meant in Roman law, if you were a jailer in the Roman world, if you allowed your prisoner to escape, you would suffer the same kind of consequences that he was in prison for. So if there was a death sentence on your prisoner, if you allowed your prisoner to escape, that death sentence would become yours. And we'll see how that makes a huge difference. It says in verse 24, who having received such a charge, that's the prisoner, that's the jailer there, says he thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, I did a little homework on what stocks were like. They were large pieces of wood with holes drilled in them big enough to get your ankle through. They were split in two in the middle, and your ankles, bare ankles, were put into that hole drilled out for them, and then the stocks were closed back together and chained tightly. And it was not uncommon, if you were in a Roman prison, you could be in there for days without the removal of any of those stocks. So you can just imagine what it must have been like to sit on the prison floor having your feet bound in stocks and having chains as well. They considered Paul and Silas a threat. They were absolutely a threat. They put them in the inner prison. They put them in stocks, and they put them in chains for doing the right thing, for preaching the good news of the gospel. They are now in prison, and there are people in other parts of our world right now that are in prison for preaching the good news, for speaking the way of salvation to a world that does not want to hear that at all. But that's not the end of the story. And I'm telling you, folks, if I have a moment, if I have a spell this morning, just somebody calm me down. Nicholas, you can catch me if I decide to jump off the front row here. Because I'm telling you what, man, this is a magnificent story. They're in prison for preaching the good news. Are they whining and moaning and complaining at the top of their breath? No, they're not. Listen to this passage. I love stories, okay? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. I want you to catch this phrase. Unto God. They didn't sing praises and pray about God. They sang to God. So when we sing and we have praises and we pray to God, not necessarily about God. Paul and Silas are locked up in the inner prison. They're very uncomfortable physically, but yet what's on their mind, and that's singing praises and praying unto God. And I catch the last phrase of that verse. And the prisoners heard them. Make sure that you understand that they didn't pray and sing to be heard. Where can we do ministry? Anywhere there's people, right? At work, at play, at school, wherever there's people, we have the opportunity to do ministry. And Paul and Silas, sitting in this jail cell, could have been whining and moaning about their condition. They could have been frustrated about the things that were going on in their life. They could have been telling God, well, sure, thanks a whole lot. We appreciate that. We stood up for you, and this is what we get. We get to go into the prison in this miserable, uncomfortable situation. Thanks a lot, God, for paying attention to those of us who are trying to do your will. You know what, folks? There's no promise in the Word of God that you and I won't be persecuted for doing the right thing, for saying the right thing. There's nothing in the Word of God that says there may be a time when we may have to pay a price for doing the right thing. But I love the testimony of Paul and Silas. They're here and they're praying. Well, and guess what? Verse 26, the key verse of the whole thing. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Pretty good timing, you think? So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Did God send an earthquake? Yeah, I think so. We serve a prison shaking Savior. Let's get real for just a minute. Prisons come in all different forms, don't they? You can be a prisoner in your unbelief. You can be a prisoner with your family. You can even be a prisoner with your church. You can be a prisoner at your work. You can be a prisoner emotionally. You can be a prisoner spiritually. You can be a prisoner in your relationships with other people. So there's all kinds of prisons. For Paul and Silas, it was as real as it gets. It was stocks and chains in the inner prison. And I believe that God responds to our praise. I believe that God responds to our prayers. I believe that He hears us when we lift up His name, when we praise Him. Because it says right here, they were singing praises unto God, and they were praying, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly the Word of God says there was an earthquake, And what did the earthquake do? It opened, it shook the foundations of the prison, and all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Doesn't that seem a little weird? You ever heard of an earthquake doing that? Notice the Bible doesn't say that the building fell down. Isn't that interesting? So God can design an earthquake that does what? Shakes the foundations of a building, opens up prison doors, and breaks loose the bands that they were all tied up in. That's what God does. God finds us at the point where we no longer have an opportunity to do anything about our situation. God finds us at the greatest point of our unbelief, and he moves in our heart and he changes how we believe. God finds us when we no longer have answers to the questions and the problems that bother us the most, when we are at our wits' end, when we have no more opportunity to do anything about our condition. God finds us there, and he reminds us that, you know what? I'm still God, and I'm still aware of what you're going through. I love this. It says, and the keeper of the prison, verse 27, on awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. And that becomes what we talked about a little bit earlier. If you were a Roman guard and your prisoners escaped, you would be suffering the same penalty that they were in prison for. So this guard, seeing the doors all open, began to commit suicide with his own sword, knowing that that would be what was coming whenever his boss people, or whatever you want to call them, whenever the magistrates found out that he had let the prisoners go. Paul, realizing what was going on, verse 28, Paul cried out with a loud voice and he said, do thyself no harm, we're all here. How weird would that be? What do you think the chances are if the same earthquake happened down in Bartow, at the jail in Bartow, and all those doors were open? How many guys do you think would still be there if all them doors were open? This is an incredible story. But see, Paul and Silas were in there with him. And Paul and Silas had a real relationship with God. And Paul and Silas, I believe that they also knew what this guy needed. Paul said, don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. What's the odds of that happening? You see, all of the things in this story help us to understand that God has control. Then the prisoner, or the jailer there, calls for a light so that he could see. Yeah, if I was that jailer, I'd have a hard time believing that too. But listen, what he wants to do, he wants to see something different. He wants to find Paul and Silas. It says he looked for a light there, verse 29, and sprang in. I love that phrase. There's not much spring left in Kenny. Kenny might slowly walk in. But you know what? This jailer knew that his life was going to be different from that moment on. It says he came in trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas and he asked the question that all of us need to ask if we have never asked it. He asked this question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here's the great news, church. Jesus already did everything that needs to be done for you and I to be saved. The only thing we need to do is believe it and receive it. And is not that what the song just said, Randy? And I'm going to read those words for you in just a few minutes here. And they answered him the same thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Make sure you understand something here. This jailer, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, did not save his entire household. What it means is that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. And his household believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they were saved. Dad, you can't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the rest of your family be saved because of that. Mom, you can't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the rest of your family be saved because you believed in him. Every person individually needs to make that choice. But it's simple, isn't it? What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to become a Christian? What do I have to do to enter the kingdom of God? What do I have to do to respond to the good news of Jesus? Believe it and receive it. And then what they did was they spoke unto him, verse 32, the word of the Lord, and they spoke that to all those that were in the house. And what I love about this passage of Scripture is that not only did he tell them that your part in salvation is to believe, but then he took the time to share the word of God. And it becomes very, very simple. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person in this building that's not a sinner saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. You didn't do it. You didn't bring enough to the table to make this happen. There's not enough goodness in all of us collectively and in all the churches in the entire world to be good enough to get saved. We cannot. On our very best day, Bill Gaither says, we are sinners saved by grace. And that's exactly how it works. And we realize that without that salvation experience, the same book of Romans says that the wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. See, that's the message that Paul and Silas were brought to the jailer. How do you suppose he might have, what caused him to respond to something like that? I go back to that verse where it says very clearly in verse 25, and the prisoners heard them praying and praising God in stocks, in chains, in the middle of a prison for something they didn't do. They began to sing and to pray unto God and to thank him even in spite of their conditions. I think there are times, folks, when we need to learn a great deal from a passage like this. If I can only praise God when the circumstances are good, something's broken in my praise. If God's only a good God when he answers the prayers that we pray, something's wrong with and it's missing in our understanding of how God takes care of us. I've mentioned this to you before and I believe it with all my heart. Some of the best things God ever taught me came through difficult circumstances that I would not choose for myself. And I believe that many of you can say the same thing, that some of the most difficult moments in your life, when maybe you didn't have a way out, maybe you felt like you were chained in a prison in stocks. Maybe you were there because you didn't deserve it, but you're there anyway, and you're having to live it on a daily basis. Maybe you're struggling with something you got no control over whatsoever. Is God still a good day, or still a good God on a day like that? I remember Charles Swindoll's testimony. He said they were keeping, I want to say, their 3 or 4 year old grandson. And you know how 3 or 4 year olds are. They're sudden. They're quick. Well, this little grandson got out of their sight just for a moment. And he fell in their pool. And fortunately, a neighbor was in the yard and looked through the fences and saw what took place. And he came over and he rescued this little boy from the pool to keep him from drowning. And Charles Swindoll said, as I was in my study, and I get emotional thinking about this because I have a 3-year-old grandson. He said, I'm in my study. He said, I can't stop praising God and thanking God for sending that neighbor over there to save my little grandson. And he said, then in a moment's notice, in my spirit, here's what I felt. Would he still be a good God if that little boy had drowned? Ouch. See, that's what Paul's telling us here in Silas. God, I love you in spite of my circumstances. God, I love you in the middle of my circumstances. God, I love you if I'm at a place that I would never choose for myself, but I'm here. And I'm going to pray to you. And I'm going to sing praises to you. Why is that? Because you're a good God every day, under every circumstance that I'm living. That's what Paul and Silas are telling us. And you know what? The prisoners heard that. And I believe the jailer did too, because he's there. You know, sometimes God speaks most loudly when we pause long enough to listen, because we really don't have anything else to say or any place else to go or any way to do anything about it. I think that's when God sometimes speaks the loudest in the middle of our circumstances. He's already sent an earthquake, and he's already opened up the doors of the prison, and he's already loosened up their bands, and he's already opened up a way for them to escape, but they stayed. Do you realize that sometimes the people that you minister to and that you witness to, it means the most to them? Sometimes when you still minister in the middle of a struggle that you're in the middle of. Everything doesn't have to go right for you and I to be able to praise God, does it? I believe with all my heart, I'll believe it till the day I draw my last breath here, God does some of his best work when I can't do anything about my circumstances. Can't do anything. Paul said, don't you go anywhere, don't you hurt yourself. We're all here. And he walked in and he said, what do I need to do to be saved? And Paul said, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. All the work has been done. You just need to believe it. Isn't that amazing how good God is? I don't have to go to the cross. I just need to believe that he did. I don't need to be buried and 3 days later be resurrected from the dead. I just need to believe that he did. That's all Paul's saying. And the scripture goes on, I love it. It says, and he took them the same hour of the night, he being the jailer. It says, he washed their stripes and he was baptized, he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You see, he got saved. He got baptized. His family got saved. His family got baptized. And the joy that this jailer is experiencing, was experiencing then, was like nothing that had ever happened in his entire life. Not only did he bring those prisoners, and I want you to understand something. I believe with all my heart it's most likely the same guy that locked him up in the stocks and the chains to begin with. Because he was given that instruction by the magistrates. Take these guys in and watch them. I put them in your charge. You are responsible to maintain their imprisonment. God opened the door. God broke the chains of his unbelief. And the good news is he can do that for you too. He's done that for many. I believe he will continue to do that. He took them to his house. He fed them and they rejoiced. I want to finish up this chapter. We got time to do that. I love the way this ends. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. Well, why would that be? Why in the world would they want to let them go? They wanted to put them in prison. Well, here's the deal. You see, it was unlawful for Roman citizens to be beaten and imprisoned. Uh-oh. The guys in charge messed it up. But see, they didn't realize that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. And they had publicly beaten them and then they had imprisoned them for something that they did not know or do, believing the lie that the two, the guys that brought them before the magistrates, had, whose girl had been healed, they lied about it, and Paul and Silas was in prison because they had lied about it. So apparently overnight something took place there, and those guys said, okay, let them go. And the keeper of the prisoner told this to Paul, this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go, now therefore depart and go in peace. And Paul said, in case you're wondering about Paul's mentality, Paul said, whoa, no. They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? No, not going to happen. Nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. You're not going to send a messenger out here and let us go. You put us in prison wrongly. We had no trial. We were uncondemned. We are Romans, and you beat us publicly, and you put us in prison. No, they're not going to send a messenger out here. Let them come themselves. And the sergeants told those words unto the magistrates, and they feared. Yeah, I bet they did. Yep. When they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them. Basically, that means they came and apologized. And they brought them out, and they desired them to depart out of the city. But what did Paul and Silas do? They went out of the prison, and they entered into the house of Lydia. That's the lady that they met down by the river when they went to prayer. That's the lady who was saved and opened up her household, and they lived with her the whole time they were doing the Philippian ministry. They went to her household, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted the brethren. They gave them good news about their walk. They gave them good news about their faith. And then they left and they went somewhere else after that. And here's the deal. Paul's going to say, listen, you're not going to imprison us like this. You're not going to beat us like this. You're not going to embarrass our Lord like this. We're not going to be put in prison and then you send somebody down there to let us out. You come down here and face us yourself. Yeah, we want to look you straight in the eyes and say what you did was wrong. Was Paul just being cantankerous? Was he just being ugly? No. Paul knew what it meant to take a stand for what was right. And sometimes, folks, when we take a stand for what is right, we anger people, don't we? Sometimes we frustrate people. Sometimes we cause them to have hard feelings toward us. But the big picture is here, is this is a perfect scriptural example of the song that Randy sang. This is basically a song that's sang by the Gaither Vocal Band. And it's an outstanding song. It has great words to it. And when I talked to Randy about singing a song, I said, you know what? There's a magnificent message in the book of Acts about the same kind of thing. And that probably was where the guy who wrote this song is either, I think he won a Grammy for this particular song. Bill Gaither says straight up, well, I sure wish I'd have written it. And everywhere they go, they get rave reviews about the song. Randy, I want to thank you personally and publicly for singing that song and for letting us know. I want you to listen closely, folks. Listen closely to these words. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, and if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things that we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you believe it, you'll receive it. If you can feel it, Somebody testify. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. That's about as simple as it gets. Most everybody that I know, including myself, has some kind of pain. And I'm not talking about just physical pain. I'm talking about emotional pain, spiritual pain, mental pain. You name it. And somebody you know probably has it and may have been struggling with it for a long time. And we may have tried everything that we could on the planet. We've been traveling that same old road for miles and miles and miles, doing the same thing every day, expecting different results. And I can assure you that that's not going to happen. We've been hearing the same old lies from the same old voice. Satan whispers in our ears on a regular basis, you don't need to trust God. You don't have to believe in God. You don't need to take this word seriously. You need to take the easy route. Go the easy way. Like water running downhill, it seeks the path of least resistance. Just do your own thing and you'll be fine. And this culture tells you and I, ignore the things of God because they're too restrictive. Ignore the things of God because they put on you levels of responsibility that you don't want to receive. Listen, folks, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, if you want to be really free, you'll be really free in Me. That's what Jesus said. He's the freedom that we seek. He said, if you're tired of trying to fill the same old holes in your life with the same old stuff, listen, here's the news. Here's the great news. There's a better life. There's a better way. There's a better opportunity. And it's in Jesus Christ. And I believe it with every fiber of my being that He is the way and the truth and the life. And He also said this, that no one comes to the Father except through the Son. In this day and time, I can assure you I will be criticized by the world if that message gets outside the building. I will be considered narrow. I will be considered intolerant. I will be considered whatever adjective you want to use right there to describe that. And the world calls you and I haters if we take a stand for that which we believe is right. Well, guess what? I've been called worse. How about you? Don't have a problem with that, folks. If it says it in here, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. So there's a better life. Would you let this prison-shaking, chain-breaking Savior set you free? Would you let Him do that? Some of you today, if you were honest with yourself, or as lost as yesterday. And you know that. There's never been a time in your life ever that you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. There's never been that moment in your life. You may have an association with the church, but you have no association with Jesus Christ personally. I'm not judging you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm asking you with all my heart, would you let Christ be your Lord and Savior today? Would you let Him break those chains? Would you let Him change that road you've been walking? Would you let Him fill that hole that this world can never fill? There's nothing there that can fill that for you. Would you do that? Would you believe it today and receive it today? Because you see, Jesus, He's a chain breaker. Would you let Him break your chains today? Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you need to ask God for forgiveness for something. Maybe you need to get saved today. Whatever is holding you back, would you just give it up today? Would you let Jesus break those chains? He's waiting, and He will. Stand with me as we pray, please. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great story. Thank you for guys like Paul and Silas, Lord, who just help us to understand that we can pray and praise no matter what our circumstances, God, and we will be better for that because you are a good God every single day. You are a good God in our worst day, in our worst time. You have blessed us over and over again. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you are and all that you will forever be, how you have opened the way for us, how you have made a better way. Lord, thank you. We love you and we appreciate you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?